Hello again, folks. This is John Johnson back on Radio EduTalk. We're from the e-assessment 2012 conference at Edinburgh.
I've Dundee.
Dundee, sorry. it's all East Coast for me. I've got Martin Hoxie and Doug Belshaw in the room here. And firstly, I'm just going to ask them a wee bit about themselves, to introduce themselves, what their interest in e-assessment is, where they come from, and anything else they find interesting, and then maybe talk a wee bit about e-assessment in general or something that's been going on here. Martin, can you tell us who you are, where you come from?
Yeah, my name's Martin Hoxie. I work for JISC CSIS, which is a nice part of JISC that covers, essentially it's the Centre for Education, Technology and Interoperability Standards, which is quite a mouthful, which is why we always go for CSIS. But my particular role there is overseeing within England and Wales, there's the Open Educational Resources Programme. So I'm providing technical support and synthesis for that programme. But prior to doing that, I was fortunate to work with Professor David Nicol on the REAP project, which was Re-Engineering Assessment Practices, which was based at Strathclyde. And that was a great opportunity to start seeing how assessment really is at the centre of teaching and learning, and how it drives a lot that what goes on but is often forgotten about. Like it's end-loaded, it's an afterthought quite often. So I've been coming to e-assessment in Scotland now for 3 years, and so it's always nice to touch base with what's going on across the sector in terms of the thinking around assessment and things like that. So that's me.
Thank you. Doug?
I'm Doug Belshaw. I am Badgerton Skills Lead for the Mozilla Foundation. I've been doing that for 2 months now. So it's a bit of a confusing title because I'm actually leading on skills, the web literacies kind of stuff. But I'm not actually leading on Open Badges. I'm more of an evangelist, and I'll talk probably more about that. I'm doing a session this afternoon on that, but I'll talk about that in a minute. I used to work for JISC Infonet, and I was a research analyst there. So I'm used to kind of this world of further and higher education. I know Martin through various stuff and online, and his awesome kind of data visualizations and tracking and everything like that. So I'm interested in Open Badges and web literacies, but I also realise, and this is the reason why I left JISC to join Mozilla, that assessment drives everything that we do in education, like it or not, and therefore to get meaningful assessment and to get stuff which matters is really important to help the learning journey, and so that's what I'm kind of committed to, and I think Open Badges help with that. But you should go to openbadges.org if you listen to this and have a look at it, but we'll talk about more about that in a minute.
So I think most teachers, educators would agree that the actual assessment, and as I was talking to David and Christina a wee minute ago, feedback is the really difficult thing for a teacher to do. And traditionally, we've been using summative assessment. And what I've come in here, as a primary school teacher listening to higher ed people, it sounds like higher ed's struggling with the same sort of move towards what I would call formative assessment, or sounds like they would call it feedback one or feedback two, feedback along the way. And Doug, particularly, you're working with this badges system, and as I see that, that's almost a semi-automatic feedback. Or have I picked that up wrong? Because
yeah, Doug, where does feedback fit into badges?
Well, the really interesting thing about badges, to my mind, is that everybody kind of feeds their own worldview into it. So it's really interesting to have a conversation about it with someone, because basically it exposes their own worldview and prejudices, mine included as well. I used to be a teacher, I used to teach history and ICT before I worked kind of further higher education for JISC. So I see kind of the whole sectors, and I see kind of similar issues. But the thing which really, David Bowdston this morning, the thing that really brought it home to me, which I hadn't really thought about before, was the fact that in schools, all of the formative assessment is done with people's names attached in classrooms, but we outsource all of the anonymous summative stuff at the end of courses to third parties, like exam boards. But for higher education institutions, They do all of that themselves. So the anonymity, or not whatever, you, being anonymous, is all the way through, which is problematic for students because they feel like a cog in a machine, which pretty much they are. And then when I've just been in the session there about MOOCs, they're basically taking that anonymous industrial revolution kind of thing for the ex-MOOCs, the kind of the Stanford, MIT kind of thing, and parading that as a virtue, whereas what we've heard this morning is that that's absolutely not a virtue because it's impersonalised learning for the learner. So, yes, about badges, I could just end up talking for the rest of the afternoon about badges. But
where does feedback fit? Is it more kind of very personalised internal reflection on achievement, motivational for the next step, or...
So what you're talking about there is basically badge systems design, which is separate to the technical side of stuff. So Mozilla is actually just looking after the technical side of things, and it's up to people what they do with the badges.
Yeah.
So people, what I've seen is people flailing around, not really knowing what to do, to be quite honest, because what you're saying is, here's a whole new ecosystem, go and do some interesting stuff. So the feedback stuff isn't built into the badge system.
Yeah.
The things which are built into the badge system are... Here's who issued the badge. Here's what it was issued for. If you want, you can put some evidence in there. And also, you know, it's verified by email address and the Mozilla persona account. And it can expire as well after a certain amount of time. But over and above that, you can do almost anything that you want. You can award a badge for participating in what we're doing now. You can award a badge for a PhD. You can award for anything in between that. Yeah. So the feedback... isn't built into the badge infrastructure. Yeah. It's something that you build around it. Yeah?
Do you think there's a danger that people will fall into bad practice?
Well, to the same extent that people fall into bad practice in education and commodifying it and serving up training as education. So I think, are there going to be some pointless bad badges? Yeah, absolutely. Are there going to be some awesome badges that are definitely worth earning? Yeah. And there's going to be everything in between that. But the... It's a decentralized system, so whether it there's no centralized point for whether it works or doesn't work, you see what I mean.
So badges aren't really about feedback then, they're about milestones.
Badges are about whatever you want them to be. And that's the hard thing, because you can only ever really, without wanting to get too philosophical, there's a guy called William Quine who came up with this web of beliefs. And what he said was, you know, you have some beliefs which are more central to your being, your everyday core, so like your religious beliefs or something like that. And some things are built upon those things and a bit too periphery. So if, for example, I found out that the Mars rover actually landed on, you know, a different planet, that wouldn't change my whole belief system. So some of these badges are going to be closer to the edge and closer to the center. But the difficulty is that as educators, the further and further you go into formal education, the more you tend to think, and I'm based on my own experience here and my own difficulty in struggling to think about things outside of the box, you tend to think that what we've already got is all that can ever be. And therefore you represent yourself, and I'm guilty of doing this, you represent yourself through, for example, your job titles and your academic achievements, but there's so much more to being human and learning than that. And that's what we're trying to capture, all those things around what we've already got. We're not trying to replace what's already there. We're trying to capture all of your interests and your motivations and the peer-to-peer stuff and everything like that.
So you could really say badges are...
Badges or whatever you want.
Whatever you want to do. But what you're suggesting to me is, I mean, a lot of the things that I'm proud about myself have actually nothing to do with my formal education and things like that, so I would get recognition from that, which kind of leads me on to the only experience I've had of something like badges is working through a wee bit of Code Academy, which I didn't find particularly motivating to collect all these badges, even though it's something I'm interested in, because I didn't feel it was feedback. It was summative. Maybe short, summative after a very short time, but it was summative like that rather than formative.
I want to use an example actually.
I think the one of the websites I use is called Stack Overflow, and it's a community site for developers. And basically it's group and self-help. So you've got a coding problem, you go there, you pose your question, you get the community will answer it for you. But there's a integrated badging system, so you get badges for just signing on each day. You'll eventually get a badge. But I found myself you start wanting the recognition within the community, and I think that's quite. This is where badges are very powerful within a community setting, is you want to get to that next level of achievement. You want to get the recognition within the community that you what you say is actually important, and that. The whole ecosystem around Stack Overflow, which is replicated in a whole range of other websites and web services, is this idea of building up your recognition, learning together, which I think is very important.
Yeah, and there's a job site attached to Stack Overflow, isn't there? Where basically, if you're an employer, you can search for certain badges and say, show me everyone who's got these badges. And those badges can be, you know, really helpful contributor, give us feedback well, all that kind of stuff. So I'll use Martin as an example. And I might be completely wrong in this, but I think that you're known better for the stuff which isn't your job title than for the stuff that you actually do. To the extent that kind of Google fly you over to San Francisco, give you loads of kit for the stuff which isn't in your job description particularly, and the stuff which is done around your interests. So that seems to be a perfect opportunity to demonstrate to people who aren't in your immediate community the stuff which you're known and valuable for. And I think that you could do it through some kind of really sympathetic, considered badging system could actually highlight. And what we're trying to do here is make explicit what is implicit. So the stuff which people know you for, which if you flew to Peru, or I'm just thinking of some community who wouldn't know you, they'd be able to see what it is that people value you for, but also look at why they do that, not just like some letter of recommendation which may or may not be trusted, but actually look at the evidence for it.
Brilliant. I mean, I think that's a really good. I've now got my head around that perfectly. I'm slightly familiar with borrowing answers from Stack Overflow, and you can just see how that sums up. So that's great. Can I just say thanks very much, Martin? Thanks very much, Doug. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you.
This, hopefully, people have been listening to it online. It will be archived later.
Cool.
And folks, if you are listening online, because I'm switching back and forward between the automatic auto DJ and this, if you're listening in a web browser, the quality may drop on that changeover. It's worth refreshing your browser when the next person starts talking live, or listening to it in some more suitable piece of software, such as Windows Media Player, QuickTime, or iTunes. See you in a minute.